Dave Rabbit here again with the ATS Mix Show from AboveTopSecret.com. If you love politics and are tired of hearing and reading all that robotic crap that keeps churning out from the mainstream media, then come join me and thousands of people from around the world at AbovePolitics.com. They have political forums for everyone's taste, including U.S. politics, United Kingdom politics, Canadian politics, head-to-head political debates, politics of war. They have a general chit-chat and a freshman forum for you newbies and rookies to the political arena. There's also forums about Mideast conflict, socialism. They have a slugfest, liberalism, conservatism, moderate, and my personal favorite, military and security issues. So if you don't want to be another sheep and want to be a unique thinker, AbovePolitics.com is for you. Part of the Above Network, LLC. Deny apathy. AbovePolitics.com.
Now, continuing in our pursuit to deny ignorance, the following is a special edition of the ATS Mix. Now, here's Dave Rabbit.
Hi, everybody. I have got something that is a real treat for all the people at AboveTopSecret.com that have conspiracy theories about what took place on 9/11. We are honored to have with us today on the ATS Mix Special Edition Show, Phil Sheenan. Hi, Phil. How are you?
Thank you very much for having me. It's a real pleasure.
Well, it's a real pleasure for us. I mean, your reputation precedes you. Let's get right into it. You know, the first thing I always enjoy doing with authors is to find out what you were like as a kiddo. What were you like as a kid?
Well, I should ask my mother this, but no, I was an inquisitive little fellow, and I decided pretty early on that it'd be a great thing to be a reporter because, you know, you sort of get to ask any question you want of any person. I mean, a child of Watergate, that was about my time. The times I was deciding whether what career path to follow was just about the time that Watergate was blowing up.
Right.
And followed it to a copy boy's job at the New York Times, and that set me off on my career. I've been here my entire adult life, which is pretty terrifying.
Were you in journalistic classes in high school?
Didn't actually take any classes in journalism, but I did a lot of working on the student newspapers in the high school and college.
So it's been in your blood pretty much the entire time then, hasn't it?
Oh, yeah, sure. I think you've got to have a real – if you want to do this job, you got to have a real passion for it because goodness knows it doesn't pay very much and you get kicked around plenty.
Yeah, I've been told that by other authors and other people in the media. Let's get into this, but before we actually get into the book, you know, my question that I always enjoy asking, and I don't know if enjoy is the right word, that I've just got to ask you considering the nature of your book, which is The Commission, The Uncensored History of the 9/11 Investigation, where were you on 9/11?
Well, I'll tell you, that's the question I opened a lot of my interviews for this book with. Because, you know, it's that moment that is like the Kennedy assassination. Everybody can tell you where they were. But
right.
I was, that morning, I was at home and watching television, and I'd heard a radio report that a plane hit the World Trade Center, and then the television went to the scene of the first tower on fire. And then, of course, like millions of other Americans, I watched on television as the second plane hit the other tower. And I knew that, it was horrifying, and I knew that I better get to work because this was going to be a major story, and this was sort of on my beat. And so I virtually ran the 10 blocks between my apartment and the office and didn't really leave the office for about a month thereafter. I do remember that my editor, I was immediately assigned to run over to the White House, which is very close to our offices here. And as I was running towards the White House, of course, everybody was running away from the White House because it had been evacuated.
Right, because of the scare.
Yeah, and I stayed out there for a while and then went back to the office, and by the time I got back to the bureau, both towers had come down, and I just remember my jaw dropping to the floor at that moment.
Was your family with you at the time up in Washington?
No, I'm a single person, so that I didn't have to worry about my family as so many other people did. My family back in California, which is where my virtually all my relatives are, was very worried about my whereabouts, but I stayed in close touch as soon as the phone lines were back up.
But before we get into the book, I got to tell everybody that if you have the opportunity, and we all hope you do, we want you to go to Phil's website, and it's www.thecommissionbook.com. www.thetopsecret.com. On that site, you're going to find all kinds of information and just some pretty exciting things to investigate and review. It tells a little bit about the book, and of course it tells about Phil, the behind the scenes, if you will, of the book. Phil has a blog there, and of course he has where he's going to be appearing and the events he's going to be doing, and also you have the ability to actually interact with him on his site. So I think everybody needs to go there and check it out. Okay, Phil, let's get to it. What does your book reveal about the 9/11 Commission that you feel the public doesn't know?
There are two big issues, I think. One is the fact that the commission, it appears, missed a lot. Most importantly, they never really got into the terrorism archives of the National Security Agency, which is, you know, other than the CIA, the most important spy agency in the federal government. And the NSA is really the source of most of the raw intelligence that's used by the CIA to do its analysis and used by the rest of the government to understand what's happening in the world. And right. For a whole bunch of reasons, the staff of the 9/11 Commission really didn't get into the NSA archives until the very tail end of its investigation. And when they got in there, they discovered to their horror that there was very important stuff they'd missed, and it was just too late to get into the bowels of it. So, you know, there's a concern that they may have missed a lot that is still sitting at the NSA. And the second right. thing is that there were an awful lot of battles that I didn't know about, battles between the commission and the White House and within the commission itself. And a lot of those battles had to do with the appearance of a number of conflicts of interest by the man who was running the day-to-day investigation, the executive director, who's an historian by the name of Philip Zelikow.
Okay, tell me a little bit about Philip Zelikow. What's his story?
Well, there's this fiction, that polite fiction, that when you read about a blue ribbon commission that's producing a report, that the blue ribbon commissioners wrote it. Well, that's almost never the case. They usually, at least in Washington, federal commissions, the digging is done by a professional staff and led by a professional staff director, often sometimes from Capitol Hill, a researcher, a scholar. And that was certainly the case here. And the scholar they chose to run the investigation was a very well-respected and many people say quite brilliant historian by the name of Philip Zelikow. The problem, it was discovered, to some extent, it was known that he was close to many people in the Bush White House. Over time, it was discovered that he had lots of very close links with the Bush White House and had contacts with the Bush White House that may not have been considered entirely proper by the staff.
Well, do you think that it was kind of a scenario to where, because of his ties to the Bush administration, that he kind of maybe turned a deaf ear to some things?
Sure, and he tried to make sure that the commission wouldn't come to certain judgments. He was a very, very close friend of Condoleezza Rice's. Now, Condoleezza Rice was really at the heart of the 9/11 commission investigation. She was National Security Advisor before 9/11, and did she respond, you know, appropriately and quickly to what was a flood of intelligence before 9/11 that something terrible was about to happen? Well, it's a little hard to have a really honest appraisal on the staff about her, or at least to have an open conversation about her, if the guy running the investigation happens to be among her very best friends and somebody she'd written a book with and somebody she had put on the transition team for the incumbent President Bush in 2001. You know, the appearance problem, past a point, appearance becomes a reality in Washington, and people thought that might be what was happening here.
What do you think the reason is that we didn't find this information about all these underlining things before now?
Well, some of it was out there, and I covered the commission for the better part of 2 years, and I did have stories that made mention of some of these ties. Some of it I just didn't know about until after the commission shut down. And some of it only came out, or we knew about only very late in the investigation. It was really in the last final months of the 9/11 Commission that we were told that Zelikow was the principal author of a very important White House strategy paper in 2002 that justified this thing called preemptive war. I certainly didn't know that beforehand, but it raises a whole series of other potential conflicts of interest. Had Zelikow used the commission to try to find links between Al-Qaeda and Iraq that might have justified the war that he wrote the intellectual defense of? It was just, you know, conflict built upon conflict built upon conflict.
Yeah, and then the more conflict, the more uncertainty about what all the facts meant, right?
Absolutely. And, you know, the problem is that it's this sort of taint that, even though the 9/11 Commission in many ways is a very fine document, and they got a lot of stuff right. People are now going to look at it with a sort of jaundiced eye because they know that the guy who was largely in, was sort of the architect of it, was, you know, had a close friendship with many people who should be the targets of that investigation.
All right. Well, did the 9/11 Commission, I mean, with all the accolades that they got and then, of course, all the slams that they received afterwards, do you think they really failed to uncover the real truth about 9/11?
That's a pretty broad question. I think there,
I know.
There are certain truths that they didn't explore.
Like what?
And they also didn't get to the question of whether or not there were human beings, you know, individual people who should be singled out for blame here. But, I mean, one truth I think they really did miss out on is a lot of the staff was very convinced, after a lot of digging, that there was some sort of connection between some part of the government of Saudi Arabia and a support network in California that had provided very, very crucial assistance to two of the 9/11 hijackers. Yet people read the 9/11 Commission report as an exoneration of the Saudis, which is absolutely not what these staffers wanted. The report was pretty much censored at the end to remove any reference to any possible wrongdoing by the Saudis.
Well, did you have a chance to look at any NSA documents or anything that may have given you some questions that are still unanswered?
I'd love to see him, but that's about as highly classified as it gets. And I'm not
So they didn't say, here, Phil, sure,
I wish it was that easy. But what happened actually is at the very end, somebody finally starts poking. There's one very valiant member of the staff, of an Air Force colonel, in fact, who is really worried that nobody's looking at this material. And she sort of goes in and starts looking at it herself because nobody else will. And she finds that there seems to be documentation suggesting that some of the 9/11 hijackers received some very important assistance from the government of Iran. You recall that at that time period, this is 2003, 2004, everybody was focused on the question of whether or not Al-Qaeda had a relationship with Iraq. So she goes in and she finds Iran's name on some of these documents, which is sort of, so did that mean that the entire government had missed connections between Al-Qaeda and Iran in this, you know, desperate search to find connections between Al-Qaeda and Iraq? And the commission does uncover some of this material, does force some of this information into the final report. But the concern is there's just an awful lot more there that they just never, awful lot more evidence there they just never looked at and remains not looked at to this day.
Well, we've talked about NSA, and let's talk a little bit about the NSA data that may have been overlooked. Your book highlights the discovery that an important and extensive amount of Al-Qaeda information that was collected by NSA was overlooked by the 9/11 Commission. Is this due to their incompetence, or do you think there was some political motive?
More incompetence than anything else. They were, you know, the commission was very busy with a whole bunch of issues, but there was a real obsession on the commission at getting into the files at the CIA in particular and the FBI to some extent. And there just wasn't, you know, the CIA seemed sort of a sexier target than the NSA, even though it's the NSA that really has, NSA really has much more of the raw material that the intelligence community uses.
All right. Well, then, you know, for such an event like this, you know, it's a generation-defining important moment, if you will. Don't you think the taxpayers deserved a better effort on their behalf?
Yes, probably. I think they were working flat out. I'm not accusing anybody of being lazy here. But sure, and, you know, there were certainly people who believe strongly now and believe strongly then that the 9/11 Commission should have had much more time and much more money to do its work. And, you know, I think in the future you'll probably hear people calling for at least some sort of new investigation of at least some elements of the 9/11 story.
Well, and you kind of touched on this a little bit earlier, but I had made myself some notes here. So I want to ask you kind of the way I've written these notes and see if we can get a little bit more detailed on the response. In your book, you write that there were frantic visits to the NSA in the closing days of the investigation, and that the material that they did end up with seemingly painted the picture, as you said before, that Iran maybe had close ties to Al-Qaeda and not necessarily Iraq. Did you ever wonder if the data that was mined on this particular endeavor was delayed because of the administration's focus on Iraq? I know you touched a little bit, but I'd like to go a little bit deeper if you don't mind.
Sure. I don't think the staff had that sense, no, and the NSA offered up this material very early. early. It's really a matter of the 9/11 Commission not acting on, you know, not going into the files when the files were open to them from the very beginning of the investigation. I haven't heard anybody suggest that the NSA withheld anything from the 9/11 Commission.
Okay. So in other words, what you're basically saying is that some key outcomes of the investigation may or may not have been manipulated to support Bush's administration's fixation of going to war with Iraq?
Not this particular question of the Iran evidence. As I say, the Iran evidence apparently was available to the commission from the get-go, and they just didn't pay enough attention to the NSA at that point.
Okay. Let's get to the sister of the NSA. That's the CIA. I love those boys. They always visit the AboveTopSecret.com website, and so do the NSA guys. I guess they really like what we have to say.
Right.
Do you think the CIA intentionally withheld evidence from 9/11 Commission?
You know, it's funny about the CIA because actually a lot of the staff was very impressed by the willingness of the CIA to help out in the investigation. There were certainly people at the CIA who thought the CIA had a good story to tell about 9/11. There was some tremendous bungling, but overall, they certainly did, you know, the CIA folks certainly did their job better than a lot of other folks at a lot of other agencies, notably the FBI. There is this question recently over whether the CIA withheld these interrogation videotapes from the commission. And there's now a Justice Department investigation to determine whether or not this material was illegally held and whether or not its destruction, I guess it's now been destroyed, whether or not the destruction was a violation of any sort of law. But here I'm actually critical of the 9/11 Commission in many ways, because there was a long negotiation between the CIA and the commission over access to the detainees and access to the information they provided. And at the end of all these negotiations, there was an agreement between the commission that the commission could have documents. It could have, you know, paper. It could have computer files about what the detainees were saying. And I don't think anybody would have been terribly surprised to discover that, you know, beyond that, there were also audio tapes or videotapes, or there had been some other sort of electronic recording of these interrogations. And the 9/11 Commission never asked for that. And I think the question you could ask the 9/11 commissioners is, if you had any suspicion at all that there was something beyond written reports, why didn't you ask for it from the get-go? I have no sense at all they ever asked for it.
Well, you know, that drives me crazy. Why wouldn't you, if you're trying to get to the bottom of things, why wouldn't you ask, to me, which would be an obvious question, Phil?
Well, at the beginning, the 9/11 Commission there, they went to the CIA and said, listen, we want to see the detainees. We want to send our investigators overseas, wherever these people are, and we want to see them face-to-face. Because a lot of the investigators were former prosecutors, and you know, prosecutors believe you can't weigh somebody's credibility unless you're face-to-face with them. You know, paper just doesn't do it.
Exactly.
CIA turned that down flat, said you're not going to see them. George Tenet apparently tells the commission that even George Bush doesn't know where these people are, and you're certainly not going to find out where they are, and you're never going to see them, but we will give you written accounts of what they say, and you can submit written questions, and we'll give you back written answers. And the commission accepted that as a compromise. And again, I don't think it's terribly surprising that there were also audio and videotapes. The commission apparently understood that it wasn't going to get into anything beyond written reports.
For our listeners that may not know, who is George Tenet?
Ooh, I think your listeners probably know. But George Tenet was the director of Central Intelligence for many years, and he was at the helm on 9/11, and he was certainly there in the run-up to the invasion of Iraq.
Okay, well, do you think he lied to the commission and all that?
They certainly thought he was not telling the truth. They had three separate private meetings with him before he testified in public, and they were so concerned about his truthfulness that he was one of the very few witnesses in the private sessions who was required to take an oath. And the problem principally with him is that they would ask him questions, and he would claim he couldn't remember. I don't remember, I don't recall. He couldn't remember key documents. He couldn't remember key meetings. He couldn't remember his very first, you know, he couldn't remember a trip. The most amazing memory loss is he forgets that he travels to Crawford, Texas in August 2001 to brief the President of the United States. The first time George Tenet had been to the ranch, and when he's first asked about it, he says he can't remember going to Crawford in the middle of the summer. When Crawford must be a real delight in the middle of the summer, I tell you.
Oh, he listened. I'm telling you, he's a Texas boy. Trust me.
Absolutely. You know, it's hotter than Hades, and he's going out there, and he can't remember having gone there a month before 9/11. So that was the principal concern, that he was like a grand jury witness. He wouldn't remember unless it was convenient to remember.
And forgive my chuckling in the background, but I mean, you know, come on. I mean, I would expect more honesty from Britney Spears, you know.
I guess. But I'll say it is funny in the sense, though, that Tennant, I think, certainly a lot of his deputies, felt strongly that they didn't have a bad story to tell about 9/11. That the CIA, more than any other agency in government, understood the al-Qaeda threat early on, had warned about it repeatedly, and the record shows that George Tenet, almost every day for the 8 months before 9/11, went and knocked on the door of George Bush and told them, listen, you better get ready because something terrible is about to happen. You know, Tenet on that front may look not bad, and why he wouldn't remember a lot of that material really raised a lot of concerns on the commission.
All right. Well, you know, I mean, your book is actually just a phenomenon, I think. And I think people that acquire it are going to have a marvelous time reading it. And again, I want to tell everybody, it's called The Commission, The Uncensored History of the 9/11 Investigation. And our guest is Philip Sheehan. Phil, you know, when you started on this book, I mean, how did you go about researching it? Because, I mean, it's just a vast array of knowledge. It just blew me away.
Well, I appreciate it. I had a ringside seat for all this. I covered the 9/11 Commission from the day it opened its doors to the day it shut down as the reporter in the Washington Bureau of the New York Times covering it. And I covered it for a long time after that, too, because you remember there was a big debate after they issued the report about how would the government respond to it. So I really lived the 9/11 Commission for 2 years, and I became very friendly and had a very good relationship with a lot of the commissioners. I had not had a relationship with the staff of the commission. There are 85 investigators led by this fellow Zellico, and Zellico cut off any possibility of contact between the staff and the press corps, and he told people they'd be fired if they ever took a reporter's call.
Wow.
And now after the commission goes out of business, these people are suddenly willing to talk. And they had, you know, fantastic stories to tell, both detective stories, you know, how do they dig for this material? What did they find? And also about these battles they had both, you know, with the Bush administration and among themselves. And after a while, I thought, boy, you know, this works as a pretty good page turner, I think.
Well, you know, we did an interview on the ATS Mix Show with William Rodriguez, the last guy out of the 9/11 towers, and I don't know what your take on Willie is or not. Listening to his stories about the events that took place that day was very humbling for me. I mean, it was one thing to sit there and watch everything play out on the TV screen, and of course, you being in Washington were very much an integral part of all that. But when you're doing this research, I mean, when you started talking to some of these people and you're getting their firsthand knowledge on these things, did you just get blown away by some of the things you were listening to?
Sure. And, you know, that's I've been doing that now for, my goodness, almost, you know, 6.5, 7 years of listening to some of these stories. And you do become a little bit, your skin sort of toughens about those stories after a while. But you do have to remember I have to remember that as I go through the course of reporting on this, on 9/11, you have to remember just the unbelievable torment that so many of these people went through that I can't begin to fathom what it would be like to be, you know, have been a survivor or be a family member of somebody who died in the Twin Towers or the Pentagon.
Where should the members of AboveTopSecret.com start if they want to pursue the study of the 9/11 Commission in the future?
Well, beyond the book you're so kind to help me promote today, I would certainly suggest people read the 9/11 Commission report, which is, you know, by government report standards, one of the most beautifully written documents of our time. A lot of it is like a page turner. It's a very well-written document that will give you a good sweep of the history of terrorist threats and al-Qaeda. It will give you a gripping tale of what actually happened on the morning of 9/11. That commission also was clever enough to create a website, which is still available online, thank goodness, which is www.9-11commission.gov. And it is the entire record of the 9/11 Commission, videos of all its public hearings, a lot of the basic documentation it used, biographies of all the key players. And I'm frequently forwarding people to it. It's now maintained by the National Archives, and I'd certainly like to see a move by taxpayers to try to keep that website open indefinitely because there's such a wealth of material. And then there are some good books out there that you know, The Looming Tower by Lawrence Wright last year is a particularly good contribution to all this. There's another wonderful book called Ghost Wars by a writer at The New Yorker by the name of Steve Call that will give you a lot of the basic information about the efforts over the years within the United States government to deal with the bin Laden threat.
Well, I'm going to be including the shortcuts to both your website, which again is www.thecommissionbook.com. That's Phil's site, and you can go there. Can they purchase the book from your site, or do they have to go through?
Sure, there's a click-through on my site to, you know, all the major booksellers.
Okay, and then I'm going to put a shortcut to the 9/11 Commission also when we post the interviews and stuff. All right, let's get to some member questions. The members of AboveTopSecret.com, as you pointed out earlier, are a pretty astute group, and the 9/11 thread in the AboveTopSecret.com website is one of the hottest as far as conspiracies and conversations. And I want to ask you some member questions and then kind of get your take on it. The first one is by a member by the name of Space Visitor. And he says, Phil, as I'm sure you're aware, the internet is littered with speculation about the myriad of 9/11 conspiracy theories. In your opinion, why does the administration continue to withhold data and evidence that might put some of these theories to rest? As an example, the videos purported to show the impact on the Pentagon.
Well, I mean, your person who wrote that may well know of videos that I'm not aware of. There is a video that we have seen that was released under a FOIA request, I think, last year to a group called Judicial Watch. And I'll bet you it's judicialwatch.org. But it is evidence of the plane hitting the Pentagon. It's pretty grainy. And a lot of the conspiracy theorists are not satisfied by it. But I say perhaps there's other material, other video of that I have not seen. You know, and I'm sure there is other material within the bowels of the spy agencies in the White House that I know nothing about. And this is a bit like the Warren Commission. You know, you'll be thinking about this for years and years and years to come.
All right, member Starskipper, given a growing dissatisfaction with the investigations, do you think the negative attitude could be resolved, or do you think there is already too much mistrust with so many that there's nothing more than just disinformation coming out?
I'm startled by how many people out there are convinced that this was some sort of inside job. I'm always impressed when I have talked to folks that, you know, these are well-read, articulate people. I try to resist doing this, but I think I will do this time, is that I have real trouble with the idea of it being an inside job, if only because I don't think, you know, it would take such incredible logistics and such incredible secrecy and such incredible competence that I just know the federal government is not capable. You know, I think my book is a lot about how much just blistering incompetence there was in the federal government, because there were clues that should have told people that something like 9/11 was about to happen, and they were just ignored by arrogant and lazy people in the bureaucracy. And I just think, you know, I just find it hard to believe that this government would be capable of the sort of competence it would require to do all this and to keep it secret all these years.
Yeah, and you know, when you say that, it reminds me immediately of Pearl Harbor, because there was so much data there, so much intelligence there, and they just completely disregarded it, you know.
Oh, yeah, no. The idea that we had, you know, we cracked the Japanese code to some extent, right? We knew things were going
exactly,
right.
Exactly.
One thing I think I really do feel comfortable saying now is that, you know, there was enough information out there. But there are certainly many people who believe that there was more than enough information out there for the government to preempt the attacks. You know, they had, most importantly, they had this guy in custody in Minnesota by the name of Zacharias Moussaoui. And he was part of this conspiracy. And everybody who encountered him at the FBI and at the FAA, and they knew that this guy was up to something no good, and it involved taking custody of a passenger plane and probably crashing it into something. Yet they couldn't get the attention of these arrogant supervisors in Washington to pay any attention to this. If they had, and if this had been brought to the attention of the people who were focused on counterterrorism threats at the White House and elsewhere, you know, maybe the world would be a very different place today.
All right, member Perceived Reality saw you on The Daily Show with Jon Stewart the other night. And he says, during the interview, you said that the 9/11 Commission stated it was not looking to place blame for the events of that day. He wants to know why you did not follow that up.
Well, Jon Stewart actually did follow it up, and he suggested that he thought Condoleezza Rice was probably, in many ways, the one person to blame. But actually, I read that, I think, the fuller posting on your website. And, you know, I think I've been criticized in the last couple of days for suggesting, for not making clear that, you know, obviously somebody is to blame for 9/11, and that's Osama bin Laden and the 19 men who got on those planes that day.
All right, Member Chrome Matadico. These names just drive me crazy. Wow. Why are we given so few details by the 9/11 Commission, one page or less, if my memory serves me correctly, about the suspicious stock trades in the weeks leading up to 9/11?
I talked to the investigators who handled that, and they said they had really, it did look very suspicious at first, and they did investigate that, and they were all, and I can't imagine why these people would have any reason to lie. They just didn't, at the end of the day, it was not nearly as suspicious as it seemed. They didn't find any evidence of wrongdoing there, or that it was... There's nothing to indicate that those people knew what was about to happen.
Did you ever talk to anybody, kind of a sidebar in here, did you ever talk to anybody about all the conspiracies about jet fuel and being able, and steel melting and anything? Did you ever talk to anybody about that, or was there anything ever mentioned in the documents?
Oh, sure, and that's something the 9/11 Commission investigated, and that's, you know, obviously the source of a lot of the conspiracy theories that the Twin Towers were brought down by some sort of pre-placed explosives. There's a lot of conspiracy theories involving this other building nearby called World Trade Center 7, or WTC 7, that came down that
Right,
same
right.
Day.
There was a few questions about that. Yeah, so yeah. What do you know about that?
Well, I will tell you that the big government engineering investigation of that is about, I believe it's very close to publication, like within the next several weeks. And,
right.
And this is the government, supposedly the government's best engineers and lots of outside experts that will explain why this building came down. I mean, one thing I know about that building, though, is that it was the location of Rudy Giuliani's emergency command post. He was much criticized for putting his emergency command post in, you know, of all places on Earth, the World Trade Center, which had been attacked before, but there it was. And it was on the 23rd floor of World Trade Center 7. And to provide electricity and heat and air conditioning for that, they had to build special diesel tanks in the basement of World Trade Center 7. The suspicion is that those fuel tanks burst and caught on fire, and that helped bring down the building. I mean, the irony is that Rudy Giuliani's command, his emergency command post, or the logistics of it, were responsible for actually bringing down the building on the day terrorists attacked. But that's the explanation I've got. I'm certainly not an engineer, certainly not a scientist. I do understand that some reputable scientists and some reputable engineers feel they can't explain why World Trade Center 7 came down as a result of the attacks on the Twin Towers.
All right, here's one from a member, UFOsho. He says, Mr. Shannon, what governing body would you like to see in charge if there ever was a new 9/11 investigation? UN or World Court, or what would your opinion be about that?
You know, I have certainly heard the families argue, and the survivors' families, and this certainly makes sense to me, that you bring together a group of engineers, scientists, scholars. You vet them all to make sure they have absolutely no serious conflicts of interest anywhere, and you put them to work. People who are not part of the political process, people who are only there to bring their expertise to bear on all the questions we're talking about. Keep politics as far away from this as you can. That might be a much better way to go if anybody goes back at this.
All right. Member Black Violet says, I would like to know what you think the outcome will be on a social and legal level if the implications that are displayed in your book prove to be correct.
I don't know if there are any. I do know that it will cause people, you know, to look at the 9/11 Commission. I think it may well cause people to look at the 9/11 Commission report with a little more skepticism. You know, when I think it when it was produced a couple of years, 3 years ago now, it was certainly hailed as, you know, golden, that unimpeachable. You know, I think it's not a complete document, and I think my book will make that clearer to people, and it will raise concerns about the tone it set and whether or not it set an appropriate tone for what is really known about 9/11. There was a nice review on one of the blog sites this morning about, you know, that in the future maybe people who are setting up future commissions will have a copy of the 9/11 Commission report in one hand and my book in the other, and try to figure out between the two of them how best to do this in the future.
Well, I hope so, because I think your guidance and your lead in the book is a mainstay for any kind of research in the future. Okay, just a couple of more. Member Justin Oldham, who is a conspiracy master for the site, he says, I'd be a bad conspiracy master if I didn't ask question. What has the federal government actually gained from this cover-up? Now, he's taking the stance, obviously, that there is a cover-up. But if there was a cover-up, Phil. I mean, what would the federal government stand to gain by doing this?
Well, you know, certainly during the course of the you have to remember, this investigation was going on in 2003 and 2004. It was happening in the run-up to the 2004 presidential election. And exactly. There was every reason, you know, you can see where, I know when I certainly say in the book that people like Karl Rove and people around George Bush were very, very worried about the 9/11 Commission and what judgments it would make about President Bush and his record on terror, because President Bush was running for re-election on the basis of his record on terrorism. And if the 9/11 Commission found that there had been any bungling at the White House before 9/11 that allowed the terrorist attacks to take place, you know, that might well have sunk George Bush's re-election hopes. So right. Those are clear political implications to what they were doing.
Okay, member Wyatsky says, a truck transport or lorry was found in the underground tunnel system that had supposedly been holding a large amount of gold bars, but there were no people with it because they were abandoning it before the buildings collapsed. He believes that it was reported that there was $220 million in gold had been recovered, yet there was a possible $238 million there in the first place. And he just makes a statement, quite a disparity. Do you know anything about what he's talking about the gold?
That's fascinating, but I can't say I know anything about it.
Okay.
I can't. I would just urge people to remember that, you know, your government is in many ways, it doesn't always function very well. And it doesn't function with the sort of confidence that I believe that would allow a massive conspiracy that's being discussed here to have taken place.
All right, just one more, then I want to ask you a final question. Eyewitness 86, why was Sybil Edmonds' secure testimony never mentioned at all by the commission, and what is your opinion concerning the allegations of a link between the Edmonds case and the 9/11 events as confirmed by Edmonds recently?
Well, I mean, that's a fascinating story. You know, she was a translator at the FBI, and the 9/11 Commission, I know, met with her. They say they heard her out. It's not clear to me that they really took her as seriously as they should have. A lot of her information remains very tightly held within the federal government. I truly never got to the bottom of that, I'm afraid, and maybe that's the subject of the next book.
All right, well, I've got one last question, Phil, and I appreciate the time. I know we were only scheduled for 30 minutes, and you've been very generous in your time.
My pleasure.
But before I ask this last question, I want to remind everybody that I am going to post the shortcuts to Phil's site, the www.thecommissionbook.com, which is his personal site, and you can purchase the book through some shortcuts that he has there. And I'm also going to post the shortcut to the 9/11 investigation so that you can physically see the documents and the things that Phil has talked about and mentions, obviously, all throughout his book. So my final question, I guess, to you, Phil, is this. With all that you've learned in your efforts covering the failings of the 9/11 Commission and compiling your book, would you mind giving the listeners and members and guests of AboveTopSecret.com your opinion on the following question? How do you think the public trust and taxpayers' interests were served by the 9/11 Commission? And, as it seems, serious doubts will still remain. Do we need to consider an investigation of the investigation?
I do think the 9/11 Commission report is in many ways a very worthwhile document, and it does have a very important history in it that is the accuracy of which is not questioned. It has a very compelling and accurate account of what happened on the morning of September 11th and all the chaos within the federal government. I think my chief concern about the 9/11 Commission is what was missed. In terms of the taxpayers' investment, it was a very small investment at the end of the day for American taxpayers. It's probably, a couple of hours worth of the cost of fighting the war in Iraq at the moment. I don't know if we need to investigate the investigator so much as people might want to consider what was missed and whether or not we need to go back and investigate those issues. And I would put at the top of that list what else might be at the NSA that was never looked at.
What do you think, that was the last question, but this is a personal. Do you think we're ever going to get to a point, Phil, that we can trust the United States government to be level with us?
We can certainly push them to be more level with us. And, that's part of the function of a free press, then it's part of the function of the electoral process. You have the opportunity in a few months to try to put in place people who you think are more likely to level with you.
Well, that could be a dice throw in Vegas,
you know,
too.
I never claimed otherwise.
I know. I was fixing to see where your stance was on that. All right. Well, listen, I want you to hang on because I want to say my goodbyes to you off air and personally. But I want to, again, thank Philip Sheenan for being a guest here today for the special edition of the ATS Mix Show here on AboveTopSecret.com. We want to thank everybody for all the comments and all the questions and the members especially for your participation in all the ATS Mix Shows and special editions. We could not do it without all of you and your input. So until next time on the ATS Mix Show and the AboveTopSecret.com website, and especially the owners of the Above Network LLC, this is Dave Rabbit, and I'll see you next time on the ATS Mix.
Hi, everybody. Dave Rabbit here with the ATS Mix Show from AboveTopSecret.com. When I get ready to relax after doing a long show, I enjoy going to our sister site, BelowTopSecret.com. They have some great forums there, some of which include rants, jokes, puns, and pranks, which is one of my favorites, faith and spirituality, relationships, travel and vacations. They even have a freshman forum for you newbies and rookies. I especially enjoy the music, television, fantasy, and science fiction forums, as well as comics, music, member art, and of course video games. But my absolute all-time favorite is cool websites, and I want to tell you why. As everyone knows, I do not read. On cool websites, the membership at BelowTopSecret.com has done the work for me. They've researched the World Wide Web and found very interesting sites. All I gotta do, go into the forum, click, and I am at an interesting and very cool website. So when you get through listening to that last ATS Mix Show, come join me at BelowTopSecret.com, part of the Above Network LLC. Remember, deny boredom, BelowTopSecret.com.
ATS Mix from AboveTopSecret.com is over.
You've been listening to the ATS Mix with Dave Rabbit. If you have a comment, suggestion, an opposing view, or would like to participate in a future show of ATS Mix, please contact Dave at www.AboveTopSecret.com. The views expressed on ATS Mix do not necessarily reflect those of the staff and management of the Above Network LLC or any of its affiliates. Thanks for listening. You may now reattach your tinfoil hat.